Britannia, page 301, the beginning of a new chapter in Egeus and Kodesh, the holy letter from the Alter Rebbe, the first Rebbe, which is a collection of letters, many of them about the mitzvah of tzedakah. And this one in particular, chapter 30, Perek Lamed, is about the greatness of tzedakah, of charity. Mudazais, in the knowledge of this, Masha Omer Azal, that the rabbi said, Kol Arogil Lovo Lebeis HaKnesses VeYemecha Leiba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoel Olav. Someone who is a regular shulgoer, but did not appear one day, God himself asks after that person. Someone's a regular. It's a, you know, the other members of the shul, if they're worth their metal, they too would notice one of their colleagues is not there and ask after them. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But God himself inquires about the person. Obviously this cannot be taken absolutely literally, because God knows where the person is in the first place. And if he's not well, he knows he's not well. But what it's conveying to us is God takes a personal interest in the fact that this person is regular in doing something, and on this particular occasion he didn't do it. And that counts, if it's, there isn't a good reason why he's not doing it, it counts against him. The Pasuk says, who amongst you is the one that fears God, and etc., which in context, it means the one who fears God, but on this occasion did not. That did not manifest itself, then God inquires as to the reason. The chaim b'chol ha-mitzvahs, the same thing is true of any other mitzvah, which a person is regular in doing, and on this occasion he doesn't do it, so God is concerned. U'bifrat mitzvahs ha-tzedokah sheshkula k'nege kol ha-mitzvahs. And in particular, the mitzvah of charity giving, which we are told corresponds to all the other mitzvahs. Where is that seen? This is not mentioned over here explicitly, but is the Rebbe used to quote it very often, that in the Yerushalmi, in the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, the word for tzedakah is called mitzvah stam. That means whenever talking about the word mitzvah, whenever talking about charity, the word mitzvah is used without specifying what kind of mitzvah we're talking about. So in other words, it's such an overriding general mitzvah that just by mentioning the word mitzvah, immediately what springs to mind is the idea of giving charity. So, and here he expresses it, sheshkula k'neged kol ha-mitzvah, is that the giving of charity corresponds to and weighs as much as all the other commandments. Hagam shehi b'li neidach ha-shalom. And even though the regularity with which the person gave this charity was not done with a neder, it was not done by way of a vow. He never said that he's going to give, you know, a pound a day to this particular charity, but he has been doing it for some time, and then suddenly he stops. He's afal pikein kolachayil. Over the page to page 302. Asher noga yes Hashem belibam lo yosa lenafsham alekias loses migros bakodesh. That means anyone who is a person of valor, who the fear of God touches them in their heart, they will not allow themselves, their godly soul, will not allow itself to give less in holiness than the amount that they are used to giving on a yearly basis. Lahafrish mim haidam, to separate from their wealth. Lahachias ruach shefalim v'nitkoim, to give life to the spirit of those who are lowly and crushed. Deles lahain migar mehain, who have nothing of their own. So he's saying that someone that's got Yiras Hashem, fear of God, will not allow themselves to downgrade their charitable giving. So the credit crunch shouldn't play a part in Jewish life. If a credit crunch, so you just say, well, I've still got to give charity, and God, who is the source of all gold and silver, as it says, Li Akesev Li Azov, he will provide, and if I give him charity, I'll never lose by it. This is what Maimonides says. about the giving of charity, that one thing you should know is the more you give, you do not lose by it. You'll always get back what you gave, at least, if not a lot more than that. And that level of the Jewish people who are on the level of having nothing of their own, this is generally described as the Sukkas David Anifeles, the Sukkah of David, of King David, obviously, that has fallen down. This refers to the plight of the Jewish people as they find themselves in exile, and obviously that is accompanied by poverty and being in want. To raise them up, and to become unified as one, meaning the wealthy man and the poor man get together, and the wealthy man concerns himself for the welfare of the poor man. And all the reward is according to how much one does, etc. According to the reckoning, according to the accounts. The more you give, the more the reward is, and the more the achievement is. K'mayim Razal, kol pruta u'pruta mistarefes l'cheshbin godol v'chulu. The rabbis say that every penny, pruta is the minimum size coin in Jewish life in ancient times, so it means every penny will join together to make a large sum. We should not therefore be in any way disdainful of giving small amounts. On the contrary, we have a tradition in shul and in our homes to have what's called a pushka. And a pushka is a Yiddish word that means a charity box. And it's a box with a hole in the lid, with a slit in the lid, which will take coins. And it's a Jewish tradition that we, at every opportunity, we give some money in the pushka. The Rebbe encouraged that women in the kitchen should have a pushka, and especially one attached to the wall, and they should put something in it on a regular basis, but especially when they're cooking, because the cooking needs a blessing in the house, and then from that charity box that they put the money in, they can use that to give to poor people that come to the door, and so on. And in shuls, it's a tradition going back, right back to temple times, where the original pushkas existed, because they had these boxes with a slit in the wall, and they would put the money in the slit in the wall, and it would go into a box behind, and it would be used for various parts of the temple service, like daily sacrifices and so on. So
some shuls say they bring them round during the service.
Yeah. Well, it's a Jewish tradition. The charity should be given during prayer, in the middle of the prayer. Hopefully not to disturb the prayer, but it is true. And this idea of one penny not being disdained, the Alter Rebbe explains elsewhere in Tanya, that because the rabbis say that the pennies add up together to make a large sum, so he uses the analogy of a coat of mail. In the old days, and under their armor, they used to wear a coat of mail, and this prevented arrows penetrating their chests. Yes. What is a coat of mail made of? It's either made of little chains or little discs of metal, which are sewn together or linked together with little loops or rings, and this is worn under the coat of armor. And the aim is to stop an arrow going through. So his mashal, his parable is that the coat of armor is made up of little links, but one of those links will save his life. But the point is that these links, a lot of them together, make a big coat of mail, and that is a protection. Wherever the arrow will strike, it will hit one of these links or one of these discs. So the same thing with giving pennies. Over time, these pennies accumulate, and each penny that one gives to charity is a separate mitzvah. And it's brought even that if you have some coins in your hand, and you want to put them in the pushka, you should put them individually rather than putting them in one go. Because every physical act that you do is a separate mitzvah. So if you put 10 pennies in, individually as pennies, you get 10 mitzvahs. Whereas if you put 1 10p, then that's one mitzvah. That, of course, doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go around carrying bags of, 10 pounds worth of change in your pockets and weighing yourself down. But it's talking about if you have the opportunity, it's rather than throwing them all in together, that you should put them in individually together. Then al derech marmazale mosai god lavai kishu bir lekeinu. The rabbis say on the pasuk in Psalm 24, which is the yom of Sunday. So it says over there, ki god Hashem umulam oid. God is very great and much to be praised. Bir lekeinu. In the city of our God. So the mashal is brought in Chazal, it's brought in Chassidus a great deal, about what is a city built of. A city is built of, made of houses. You know, all the houses and big buildings together makes a city. But what's the house made of? The house is made of bricks. So these individual bricks, which on their own are totally insignificant. One brick, what's one brick? You see a brick in the street, you don't think twice about it. So on its own it's taka insignificant. But when you put bricks together, you build a house. And when you put houses together, you've got a city.
Yeah.
So this is the mashal that's used. When is God great? Be'ir elekeinu. Be'ir elekeinu means in the city of our God. What is the city of our God? God demands of us prayer, tefillah, and Torah. And Torah and tefillah are both made up of words. We utter words. So the prayer is a long prayer. Ashrei is from beginning to end. But it's made up of words, and the words are made up of letters. The same analogy is the town. The Ashrei is the town. The words are the houses. And the individual letters are the bricks. So we should not disdain the value of the bricks, because they make up houses and towns. And once you've got a big structure, that becomes called Ir Elokeinu, the city of our God, because you now got an edifice of a whole prayer, and that God resides in the prayer. So it's Ir Elokeinu. That means we draw godliness down into ourselves, into the world, as a result of this. So it's the same idea again. The idea of the very small, repeated many times, becomes very significant. He bechinas umakaim hacheshbon k'mashkasav einecha brachos bechesbon. And so this is the place of the reckoning of how much a person's charity is, as it says, your eyes, God's eyes, obviously, give blessing according to the cheshbon, according to the reckoning of how much the person's done. V'amachuvin k'noida k'bisarusa deletata amshachas chayim chayim v'chesed v'maisa tzedaka b'rotzen atoy v'seiv uponim yofes. And what's intended behind all of this is, as is known, that with an awakening from below, there's a drawing down of life and favor and kindness by the deed of tzedaka, with good will and with a good countenance. This draws out, this is our awakening from below. This is the effort that's done by the individual down below in this world. And that's called Isarusa de la Tat, an awakening from below. That draws out Isarusa de la Eil, an awakening from above, where God shines back down to us reflectively as a result of the good things that we have done. And it says, Yarafai upon us, that God will shine his face upon us, and that can only be good. This is the response, that we gave charity in a way of chaim chaim v'chesed, of giving life, giving favor, and giving kindness. So God responds to us by looking down upon us, and shining down upon us, and drawing down upon us chaim, favor, chesed, kindness, v'rotzen elyon, and goodwill from God, mechai achaim, and sabaruchu, from the source of all life, the infinite one, blessed be he. Asher ligdulosa in cheker, that God's greatness cannot be fathomed. That's a quote from Ashrei as well. Bahasoga klal, in cheker vahasoga klal, there's no fathoming it, there's no idea of the greatness of God. So what does this do? This draws down from those levels of chen and chesed and rotzen, etc., from a level which is beyond any in intelligence, beyond any analysis, and it brings it down to the all these worlds, Malchus and Malchus Kolomim, which is the Malchus, the receptacle of all the worlds, Atzilus Bri Yuti Asiya, Alma Dizgalia Machaya Kalabruim, even down to the revealed world, which is Oilam Atzilus, the world of our practicality, which is the life source for all the created beings. Shebechola Echola Salyonim Tachtonim, in all the higher spheres, the higher abodes, whether above or below, Shehem Bechinas Mispa V'Cheshbon, which are numbered in some way. it brings in the Gemara, and he's going to quote it now about there are how many angels there are in each level that serve God. So what we're saying is that by a person doing tzedakah, which is doing kindness in this world, and even if it's on a small amount on a regular basis, this is not to be sniffed at, then God's response is to do the same as the Jew is doing, to bestow kindness and favor and goodwill upon a person that has little of his own. And God does the same to us and pours down on us tremendous blessing. But the number of angels which serve God is Aleph Alofim, which Aleph is 1,000 and Alofim is 2,000. 2,000 times 1,000 is 2,000,000. So it says in the Talmud, it's in the Gemara in Chagiga, it's quoting this pasuk, which says 2,000,000 angels serve him. So the Gemara over there asks, but it says in a number of places, it says in another place, v'ligdudav ein mispar, that God's troops have no number, meaning they're infinite and cannot be counted. So why are you telling me, Elef Alafim Yisham Shune, that there are 2,000,000 that serve him? Surely there's a lot more than that. Yeah. And how can we reconcile the two sources? So the Gemara answers, "Ein achanami is taka true." That it says, "Vili gududav ein misba." There's no number to his troops. Meaning, a gudud means a corps, a group of soldiers. Is called a gudud.
Yeah.
So within the gudud, each gudud is 2,000,000. But vili gududav ein misba. There's no number to the number of gududim. So these are corps. I don't know how many, what you would call it. It would probably be a lot more than a regiment to have 2,000,000 soldiers. Yeah. But whatever it's called a large body of soldiers. So yeah. Within the body of soldiers, these are angels, there's 2,000,000, but the number of bodies of soldiers in total is infinite. So this is what we are deserving of, that all of these creatures, all of these angels are marshaled to bring us blessing. That's what it says. When the rabbi said that each penny adds up to the great reckoning, this is the great reckoning, it's not our reckoning. When we add up our pennies, it may only come to 10,000 pennies that we gave that year.
Yeah.
But that's not the reckoning that is applicable to us. It's the reckoning, God's reckoning, in response to what we've done, is a reckoning that has infinity to it. Shalidei Rav Maisa Tzedakah Shalom. Through the doing greatly in the deeds of charity, this brings peace. What is the peace? Piki Pira Shalom. The meaning of peace is Udova Machaba Matava Beis Katzavas Hofkin. Peace means the ability to reconnect two opposites. That's peace has to be like it says, Isa Shalom Bim Raimov. We've discussed this once before. It says, God makes peace in his high places. So what does it mean that he makes peace in his high places? Is there not peace? If you go into a field on a quiet summer's day, and the birds are singing, and there's no cars nearby, and you sit down and enjoy the peace, that's peace, isn't it? Peace and quiet. We talk about peace and quiet. I want some peace and quiet. What is that peace? So the rabbis explained that is a level of peace, but it's not the ultimate level of peace. The ultimate level of peace is, or not the ultimate, but a higher level of peace is, when you had strife and you managed to make harmony, that is peace. That's an achievement of peace. When there never was strife in the first place, then there's no achievement of peace. It's just peaceful, but it's not peace.
Right.
Peace is when you have strife. Two opposites, striving with each other, and then you manage to join them together. So that's why it says, "I say Shalom b'Mloimer," that God makes peace in His high places. Michoel Sa Shel Yamin, the Gaviel Sa Shel Smile, Sa Shel Smile. Michoel is the Malach, the prophet, the angel who is on the right. He's the angel of water. And Gabriel is the angel of fire on the left. And the left and right are fighting each other. And fire and water are fighting each other. So I said, Shalom, Hashem makes peace between them. That is peace. Shaheim. That, well, what is the peace there for? The ends of the heaven above. That is to a level where we are unable to fathom it. And the level of the other end of the heavens, which is down here on earth, down below. Hamislabish of Yah, that is enclosed in Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. So that's the other end of the scale. So how can you reconcile and bring together the upper part of heaven and the lowest part of earth, which as far apart as you can ever get two things to be? The answer is through tzedakah. Because this brings shalom, this brings peace. Because the tzedakah is joined two opposites as well, the rich and the poor. The chias, gevul, umispa, which is the level of limits and numbers, and this is enough for the one that understands. So, what he's saying is that tzedakah is charity. Brings peace. Peace means peace between opposites that have hitherto been in strife or been very far away from each other. And unable to communicate and unable to harmonize. And the tzedakah, where a person allows a lowly poor man, the less bay migarme klum, that has nothing of their own, and the rich man thinks of them, so his two opposite ends become united, and the rich man gives of his money in way of coins on many, many different occasions, and this joins together to make a great number. The great number is the achievement of bringing peace, meaning connecting up the highest level of godliness with the lowest level of earthliness, and therefore by bestowing tremendous blessing in this world.